Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Let's begin this morning with a prayer to our Heavenly Father. Father, we just want to thank you once again for saving us. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ, his blood, his redemption, his death and resurrection. We thank you also, Father, for your word that speaks to us in our hearts and challenges us to live the life that you've dreamed of us to live. And we just thank you for gathering us all together again this morning, Father, around one purpose, just to hear more about your word, hear more about your son, more about you, and to have that change our hearts so that it changes the way that we live. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join us for the song service.
Wonderful worship today, everybody. Very, very good. All righty, let's turn this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 7. Romans 1, 7. And as you're getting ready to turn to that passage, a couple of announcements to tell you about. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of February already, and so we're going to have the Lord's Supper celebration next Sunday, February 2nd, Lord's Supper. Also, want to let you know about something that's in the works. We are putting together a homeless ministry, and Deacon Brian Tapper will be leading it. We are looking for a partner, an institution that's in that line of work to partner with. Got a couple in mind that we're checking out. And very soon, we'll be calling a meeting for those of you that might be interested in serving in that way. Also, believe it or not, we're thinking about camp already because it's February. And one thing in particular it looks like we're definitely going to need in the camp this summer in June is women counselors and teachers. Women counselors and teachers. So I'm betting the Lord's going to put that on the heart of several ladies in our congregation. And when that happens, please see Marilyn Pomeroy for more specifics about that. We continue to have our informal Bible study every Thursday night at 7 p.m. And it's a different way of learning the Word of God together, where there's more dialogue and more questions and interactions. It's going really well. We invite you all to be a part of that with us. We also, by the way, have a youth group every Monday at 6 p.m. It's for our young people. And there, too, we welcome you. If you're a young person between the ages of 2 and 105, you can come. Really more like 12 to 30, but whatever. Just come on and be with us. We have a great time. Learn the Word of God, again, in a different way that's more suitable for young people, led by Dane Robert Verhoeven, who is an amazing man of God and an amazing person with young people. So believe me, your children are in great hands with him. You're in good hands with him, and the rest of us, I hope, too. Also, we are continuing to post our materials for the Thursday night Bible sessions. If you can't be here in person, you can always go on our website, www.lbible.org. Hey, by the way, did you see that new electric sign we got going on? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, I like it. I hope we don't cause any accidents with it, but that's another story. So anyway, www.lbible.org is our website, and the materials, because we don't record those sessions on Thursday evenings, the materials will be available on our website for you to use yourself, keeping up with what we're doing at that time. Also, Wednesdays, once again, as a reminder, we have prayer meeting. Prayer, of course, is an essential part of the body, essential part of our worship to the Lord. Individually, of course, on a daily basis, and also corporately, together. And we do that on Wednesday evenings at 8:15. All right, again, if you haven't already, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 7. Now, we have begun our study of the book of Romans. Title of today's message, though, is a question. And it's something for you. It's something to take what we've been studying in the Word of God and let it speak to you, to understand how this relates to you in your life right now. Romans, as we've seen, is a big book. It's 16 chapters. We've been doing the history. We've been doing the outlining. But you know what? All of that is really just to set the stage for God's word to speak to your heart again. And this morning, we're going to see about that a little bit. The question is since Romans is the good news book from start to finish, the question this morning is how about you? Are you becoming a good news person? You. Are you becoming a good news person? Now, here's an example of good news. I'm pretty sure that I have insomnia, but the good news is I'm not losing sleep over it. I like that. Romans is the book that maps out the good news from start to finish. We saw that in the outline, from start to finish. with a little bump in the road in chapters 2 and 3 to deal with the problem, which is sin. Other than that, it's good news from start to finish. We saw that already, even in the outline about the righteousness of God coming on the scene through faith and how grace all the way from the moment we believe to glory and eternity, and how the good news continues by saying, you know, everything about the Old Testament that hasn't been fulfilled yet for the Jewish people will be. Good news in our future. Millennial reign of Christ all the way to eternity. And the good news is that right now, today, we can take what we receive from Romans and live it out in the way that we love each other. Romans 12 to 15. So it's good news from start to finish. And we've been studying the history, and we've been doing the outline thing. But today, it's time to air this out. It's time to air out what we've been looking at here in Romans. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of historied out after the history we've been going out for the last couple of weeks. And a little bit outlined out, too. So today we're just going to air things out a little bit. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. To all who are beloved of God in Rome and in Fort Lauderdale and in Lighthouse Point, and in Delray Beach, and in Coral Springs, all you guys. See, that's the thing about the Word of God. Sure, we've been studying how it's been written to a people that lived long ago in a place many of us have never been but have heard about, Rome, how it was the center of the empire. But you know what? The Word of God is meant to speak to us right here and right now and kind of reach out of the page and grab our heart and say, this is for you. When he says, beloved of God, he's talking to you as believers in Jesus Christ. That God has already decided that he's going to love you eternally. That's what that means, and it's to you this morning. That's one of the reasons why, remember when we looked at the middle section here of chapter 1, we saw Paul kept saying, I and you. And I think that's sort of instructions to the preachers to say, hey, make it about you and them ultimately, because that's what this is here for. You're beloved of God. You're called as saints. There's grace new to you every day. God says, I want my peace to be in your heart and to be building for you now, today, in 2014. Or go to Romans 1:15. Just peek a little bit beyond where we already started. And let's take a look at this. Paul says, and I say, for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. Good news. Who are in Rome and Fort Lauderdale and Lighthouse Beach, Lighthouse Point. It should be Lighthouse Beach, but it isn't. Deerfield Beach. I'm eager to preach the good news to you today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. See, this is instructions for us. It's saying, look, this is still the power of God. This is not just saying that one day a long time ago there was some power on a hill in Calvary and more power 2,000 years ago when Christ came out of the grave. It's saying the power is here because the Holy Spirit is here and Jesus Christ is here, especially when we're gathered together. The power is for now. The power is for you. The power of God for salvation to everyone who what? Believes. See, there's another key to the whole thing. You know, when I put that question up, are you a good news person? And maybe you thought about some things and you said, you know, really, if I'm being honest, I'm really not. Well, why not is what we're going to get into. Well, because we have to look at what he's telling us, the Word of God, what Jesus, what the Father is saying. He's saying, look, this is power, but it's power when you believe it. And this is written to believers saying you got to still keep on believing it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteous in what? The power of the gospel, when it's alive in your heart, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So this morning, it's time to get real about what we've been studying so far in the book of Romans. We just read verse 16, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But I've got a question for you this morning. Here's the question. That's the question. How can Romans 1:16 show up in your life tomorrow? I want you to stop and think about that. Let me read it again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. For it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How can that show up in your life tomorrow, Monday morning? How can the power of God for salvation do a work in you and for you today? How does his glorious work work out for you in your life? How will his righteousness become demonstrated in how you live? Is his mercy that he showed to Gentile and Jew, is that becoming your merciful heart? Is it? Can people around you sense the celebration in your soul about Jesus Christ? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, what? The gospel, the preaching of it, the believing of it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. He's talking about, yes, of course, he's talking about the righteousness of God being revealed every time somebody believes the first time. But he's also talking about the fact that it continues to be revealed as we continue to believe good news and it changes us. So that the revelation of the righteousness of God becomes your life, becomes how you are in the lives of other people. And they realize that, you know what, they may not believe Romans yet, but you do. And because you believe it, you've got hope for them. And then the righteousness of God is revealed again through you. The Bible says that the body of Christ, the believers, are the fullness of Christ in this world. It means that when we come, whatever passage of scripture we come across, it should at some point leap off the page and get into our hearts and say, this is for me, this will change me, and this will make something happen in my life. That's what's here. It's all part of it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in this good news preached and believed, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. That's a whole life you're looking out. That's your life from here out to eternity. It shall be lived by faith. His righteousness is declared. But again, are you that person? Are you moving forward today and tomorrow to become the good news person in your life and the life of others? You see, is the righteousness of God going to be revealed in your life tomorrow, this week? Is it going to be revealed in your life? Because have you been believing some amazing good news that you found in the book of Romans this week? Have you been looking at it and dwelling in it and considering it and rejoicing in it so that it's being revealed in your heart and eventually in your life? That's the purpose of this. Please go with me now to Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. Are you becoming a good news person? Romans 3:21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. How long has it been since you took a verse like that and you wrote it? You wrote it down, in the sense that I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short of the glory of God. It's speaking to me in that painful place. I'm with the word now. I'm with verse 23. And then do you stay with it? Do you stay with it to verse 24 and say, yeah, but I'm justified as a gift. It was a gift. I didn't have to do all these things. It was given to me freely by God, by his grace, through something. What? What could it possibly be that would take me as a sinner who's fallen short, realizing it, and then being a totally justified and given a gift? It's one thing. It's this redemption. Oh, I want to know more about that. Whatever it was that caused God to be able to freely give me justification. You're declared righteous. Your sins, and I don't remember anything. Whatever it could have been, I know it wasn't me. But whatever it could have been, I want to know all I can about that. I want to know everything about the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And I know that, I go on and I see it. Verse 25, God displayed Christ publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Notice all the demonstrating going on. You see it? You see it in verse 21? This righteousness of God has been manifested. And here we see it in verse 25. God displayed Christ publicly. And then again, this was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over sins previously committed. He did it, and he wants people to know about it. And that's not just, it's not just, okay, so go read, tell somebody read this, or listen to a preacher. It's, you know what? I'm a good news person now, and you're gonna learn something about the fact that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, and I've been justified, and I want that so much for you too. See, I'm gonna display it publicly. I'm gonna demonstrate the righteousness of God for people in my life. That's what this is meant to do. God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. And he repeats again, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time. Oh, and the scholars will go to that at the present time and try to define it and all of that. But you know what? Let's just today let the word of God speak to us and say that the present time is right now. That the demonstration of his righteousness is going to happen now in your life, in my life, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the purpose of this book. Yes, it was the purpose when Paul wrote it in AD 57 to the Romans. It's also the purpose today, announcing good news from God concerning his son. And when this good news is announced, whenever, wherever, however, the righteousness of God is revealed. And it happens whenever a person believes good news from God that is preached. When a person believes good news from God, and remember that the entire book of Romans is good news, and therefore, it's got a lot to say to you, a lot to say about your situation in life now, a lot to say about your fears, a lot to say about your guilt, a lot to say about your concern and your confusion, your doubt, your thinking that there might be something between you and God right now for some reason. It's got a lot to say to you. And whenever a person, you, believes good news from God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, something happens, and then, of course, as the righteousness of God is revealed, and this abounds to the glory of God. And I know that we read something like that, and we think about the big picture of it, and we see it in history, and all, but you know what? There's a time for it to then come to you and speak to you and say that. Now, what this means is that every time you believe more good news from God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, once again, the righteousness of God is revealed, and this abounds to the glory of God in your life. Because here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that all of us fall short of being the good news person. All of us are miserable in areas of our life, maybe too often. But there's an answer for that. And see, and the answer for that is for us to receive good news again. You know, if you're spent, if you're like singing the words this morning, you're like, well, these are great words, but I don't feel like they're really coming out of my heart this morning. Maybe it's because you haven't let the word of God minister to you enough lately. You can't give what you don't have. And the idea of the Bible, the idea of us getting together, is to be enriched, built up, strengthened, established in love and in confidence so that we are the good news people when we go into a place that's dark and hurting and painful and scary and confusing. That's what this is for. So, yeah, it's revealed, the gospel, and it abounds to the glory of God. But notice that the word believes, let me put this up again, believes. When a person believes good news, believes. See, this is the thing. Think about this morning. What's a person look like when they really believe such amazing good news? What does a person look like when they're believing amazing good news? When you think about that. We have a picture of it in the first century, don't we? We have a picture of people just out of their skin, happy, selling their stuff and giving stuff away. Now, a lot of people want to turn that into a legalistic point. Thou shalt always give everything away or else thou shalt not be a good Christian. Bull. What it's saying is, you know, God released this good news for the first time 2,000 years ago. And let me tell you something. The first time it was released, boy, was there a party. That's what it's telling us. And guess what? You can have a party in your soul anytime you want. That's what it's telling us. Believe it. Believe that you're eternally secure. Believe that your sins are forgiven. Again, tomorrow. Believe it again. And then you'll find out slowly but surely your heart is changing into somebody who's got a reservoir of hope so big that you can come across all kinds of problems in life and find out that the same thing that poured into you is starting to pour out to other people. That's the point of the Word of God. That's the point of it, believing it. So even better, though, than that question, what does a person look like when they really believe such amazing good news? I got a better question. Are you becoming that person? Are you? Are you becoming that person? Or in a real simple way, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Are you a good news person or a bad news person? Be honest. Look, I'm going to take you somewhere where any of the sting of this will go away this morning. So don't be afraid to be brutally honest right now. Romans already taken us to place this morning. That says, look, y'all fell short. All right. Don't worry about that. That's a given. All right. But you've been justified anyway as a gift. So what you should be real thinking to yourself is that anytime I go to that bad news place, I should look, pick up my head and realize that God's going to bring me somewhere good. He's in that business. That's what Romans 5 is all about. Romans 5 is all about as much as the Satan and the sins of Adam and all that stuff tried to push down the human race into the gutter, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene and his grace is flowing in your life, it just blows any of that away and pulls you up higher than you could imagine. Now, it doesn't exactly say that, but that's the idea. But you see, what the idea too is for us to take that and make it part of who we are. Take that and use it. Use it on the thing that you don't want to look at tomorrow. You know, and say, not I, but Christ. I'm going to use his word, and I'm going to use that truth, and I'm going to put it to work in my life because I know something. I'm supposed to be a good news person. But if I don't put it to work in my heart, in my life, and I don't see it coming true for me first, how am I ever going to be a witness to how great this is? If I really haven't let it work that much in my own life yet. Like when Keithian was here, he says, you know, the ladies used to come around and sell stuff door to door for beautifying, and some of them came and they looked horrible. You know, are you going to buy anything from that person? Or like these people, I saw a picture of this person who's in the business of fitness training. And this person was like 30 pounds overweight like me. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't buy from me if I was in the... They were saying, hey, I know how to be fit. I know how to be fit. It's the same thing with this. I got good news. And then you get this frown on your face and you're war-eating. You're judging the person when you're talking to them. And the person's looking at you and saying, it don't look like good news to me. I'm out of here. Let me turn on football or something. So that's the thing. Are you a good news person or a bad news person? This is not condemnation. This is freeing you up. Because if you're honest, all right, and I've been around a lot of you long enough to know, all right, and you've been around me long enough to know, that we're not always that. That as a matter of fact, there's a lot of us that look at what's going on in this world right now, and we focus on the bad news. Oh my God, look at Obamacare. Oh no, you know, this and that. And when we talk about people, sometimes we talk about their faults and their failings, and we're in bad news right away. I can't believe they're still blah blah blah. It's just gossip. We don't call it that because we're sophisticated. But we're in the bad news a lot if we're honest with ourselves. We really are. So okay, all have fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by the redemption, which is not in you and not in me. It's in Christ Jesus and his blood. God's glory is revealed from faith to faith, always spreading, in other words, from the faith of the Jew to the faith of the Greek, from the faith of Jerusalem to the faith of Antioch to the faith of Galatia to the faith of Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, and Rome. Yes, but something else, though. You see, the righteousness of God, I'll show you that cartoon in a minute, also continues to be revealed more and more fully in your life as you respond to all kinds of good news in Romans. That faith to faith, take that and say, that's going to be me. As I walk through the book of Romans, I'm going to take some faith and apply it. Everything I look at, I'm going to apply it to the fact that I've fallen short. I'm going to remember that. So that when I do see that in my life, I'm not going to be shocked anymore. I'm going to say, you know what? God already told me that. So I'm going to believe that he's got a solution for it. Otherwise, the book of Romans would have ended at verse 19, and we would have every right in the world to be bad news people. But it didn't. It went on to say, you've been justified as a gift by his grace, by the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to believe that too. And when I believe that again, when I have a bad day and I'm looking at something that's making me feel bad about myself, I'm going back to Romans 3, and I'm going to go through it again. I'm going to take the ride again. I'm going to take the ride down to falling short of the glory of God and take the ride way back up to being justified as a gift by his grace, by the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to take the ride again. This is supposed to go from faith to faith. That's the idea. So, here we go. This is a guy who doesn't understand it yet. Boss sitting at his desk. Employee comes in. The good news, Harcourt, is that I don't know what I'd do without you around here. The bad news is I'm about to find out. He doesn't get it yet. That happens too. So here's my question. Since the righteousness of God is continuing to be revealed, whenever you respond in faith to all kinds of good news in Romans, I'm just wondering, how's your responding doing? How's it going? From faith to faith, I mean. From faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the response. You know what the response looks like? It looks like that. It looks like every day of your life, every day of my life, laying aside the old man, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, and putting on the new man. That's the response to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's from faith to faith. You see it? From Romans chapter 3 to Ephesians 4 and 5. From faith to faith. So when I say, gee, now, how do I take the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to work with me tomorrow? It's like right there, by your response. By laying aside the old man, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and putting on the new man. Romans is about eternal security. Oh, is it ever? From all the way from chapter 3 to chapter 8 and beyond, it's telling us about nothing, neither death nor life nor any created thing will ever come between us and the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but lately I've been spending a lot of time in Romans 8. A lot of time. For me. Okay? And for you. All right? Why? Because, you see, we're living in a last days world where, honest to goodness, Satan and all those forces are ratcheting up everything. Now, you know where they like to attack believers? They like to attack us to cut off our relationship with God in our heart. Now, they can't touch him, but they sure try to touch us. Okay, so I say, wow. So I got these things, I got all these, it's so funny. I mean, the world will come at you every other kind of way it can. And it may put you somewhere. It's all different for everybody, but it's going to try to put you in a prison where you say to yourself, I'm not worthy of the love of God anymore. That's a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. All right? What do you do about it? You go from faith to faith. You open up your Bible to Romans 8, and you say, no. God thought about me in eternity past. He called me before I was. He justified me, and he's glorified me. I am a child of God. I am a brother or a sister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I always will be. And God is doing this for his own glory and for his own son. I am as secure can be. Why? Well, the reason why that's flowering in our souls is because we went from faith to faith. We took it out of the words of Romans and threw it into that mess that the kingdom of darkness, Satan, and our flesh and the world made of our soul today. We said, hold on just a minute. Oh, yeah, that looks real messy. Hold on a minute. Hold on, everybody. I just want to take a couple of minutes here, world. I want to take a couple of minutes here, flesh. I want to take a couple of minutes here, Satan. And I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of death. But you got to work it. You got to get in there and grab it and take it and claim it and make it. Get all the gusto out of Romans 8 you can every day of your life. Now, you don't have to be in Romans 8 every day. You know what I'm saying. Not a bad place to be, though, if you want to be in a place. Not a bad place at all. So eternal security, what do we do? What's the response? What's the response in faith? It's, you know what? Believing that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor any other created thing will ever get between me and God, that turns me into a hopeful person, and it will turn you into a hopeful person too. Because there's no end to the marvelousness of God. The only thing that can mess it up, really, is us thinking there's an end between us and Him. And Satan knows that. He knows it. He knows his goose is cooked. Every time a believer says, stop, stop it, and goes to the Word and says, what does the Word say? What does it say about who I am and always will be? And it says there's no condemnation. And it says that since when you were His enemy, He died for you. How much more is He going to come through for you now that you're His child? That's what it says. But it's from faith to faith. We've studied a lot about the wonders of being in Jesus Christ. And there's so many, you can't even count them all. The victory, the peace, everything that we have in Christ Jesus, the redemption. Now, what do? We go from faith to faith. What's the response in faith to that? You know what it really is? The response to that, the wonders of being in Christ, it all plays out in our being obedient to the corresponding commands in the New Testament to live according to the wonder. We studied some of that. We went back and we looked. Hey, and there's something amazing about being in Christ. Now, oh, look, if you go somewhere else in the New Testament, there's a corresponding command that says, live like that. It says, you're perfectly righteous in Christ. He is your righteousness. But then later on, there's a verse that says, practice righteousness. Oh, I get it. So every time I get something about me being in Christ, I know there's a corresponding part of this life I'm living where I live that out. I live that out in my life. And that's your response in faith to all the wonders of being in Christ. We have faith in the work of the Holy Spirit. That's chapter 8 of the book of Romans 2. And you know, He's the Spirit of truth, is He not? Doesn't Jesus say that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth in the Gospel of John? Okay, I believe that. So now how do I go from faith to faith? What's the response to that? You know what the response is? Speaking truth to one another. That's the response. You see, when you really believe that this is the truth from God, and that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will empower you in ways you can't even imagine to speak this word, now all of a sudden you become a hopeful person that you know that every time you can be in somebody's life and speak words from the Bible that will help them out. You speak the truth to one another. He's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So what's up with that, right? Are you a person that brings life into the picture? Are you? Are you a person that brings life into the picture? Because I know, look, it's for certain that, let's face it, there's an awful lot of death out there in your life, in my life, in the lives of people we love. And it's got to be combated somehow, only one way, and that's with the life of Christ. So that's your response to the work of the Spirit, bringing in life into these situations. Because, not because you're anything, but because the fountain of the Word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit is pouring out of you, and that brings life. It can't help it. It can't help but bring life. So we have faith in the mercy and wisdom of God. I'll tell you what. I hope you have read Romans, because once you get to the end of chapter 11, if you don't have faith in the mercy and wisdom of God, read it again. Read it again and have a claim to your heart so that you get to the end of Romans 11 and you're kind of where Paul is. Oh, the wonders of the magnificence of the riches of the wisdom of God. That's faith. Now, how do you go from faith to faith? Well, this is what you do. You see, it turns out that, I'm way behind here. Where is it? There it is. Turns out that once you get to the end of chapter 11, and if you're not there yet, park this thought, all right? But it's like, boom, Paul says, I'm overwhelmed by the wonders of the riches and the mercy of God and his wisdom and all his dealings with mankind. You know, that's what Romans is. It's all of God's dealings with mankind. When you get done soaking up the book of Romans, your view of mankind should be totally blown out of the water. It should be totally different from what it was before because of Christ, because of his cross, because of God saying, I have a way of bringing in the Gentiles, which is everybody else but the Jews, having a time of fullness for them and not forgetting my people Israel and coming on back and having a time of fullness for them. So guess what I did, folks? I covered the whole human race, God says. The whole human race with mercy and wisdom. So now, what's the response? What's the response to being on that high mountaintop of Romans 11? It's this. A good news believer is merciful and wise in your dealings with real people in your life. That's what the response is. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit's in you. The same God who figured that whole thing out for the whole human race is there in your life now. And the way that you can respond in faith to the wonders of Romans is by learning through the Word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how to be merciful and wise in your dealings with real people in your everyday life. We have faith in the love of God in Christ Jesus, but that faith in the love of God in the heart of a good news believer turns into love for your brother. That's how this works. I hope you're getting the hang of this idea of how do you go from faith to faith. It's from faith in something that the Romans tells us, which is good news, into your ability to be a good news person every day of your life. At the end of Romans, it talks about the God of hope filling us with all joy and hope in believing. All joy and hope in believing. Well, what does a good news person do with that? People he comes across, or she, are more hopeful and joyful because of their works and words among them. Now that's a task. It's a task on all of us. But don't you want to become that? Don't you want to be a good news person? Maybe you're not there yet, but don't you want to be? Don't you want to be a person that can step into the lives of misery and grief and unforgiveness and conflict and step into there? And you might not solve all the problems. You might not solve any of the problems, but somehow, some way, because of what's pouring out of you that you got from Christ, you leave the scene, and somewhere in there, it's a more hopeful and joyful place because of the works and the words that you brought with you there that day. That's how you live from faith to faith. Romans 1:15. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's talk about this word gospel this morning. You know what it means? It means announcing good news. It means announcing good news. It means all of that. And the reason why it's not just good news and that the announcing is there, because you have to remember that part. You have to remember that the power is in the announcing of good news. You see it? The power is when you announce good news. That's where the power of God comes from. All right? It's taking it from where it is in Romans and putting it to work in our lives so that we're announcers of good news. That's what it is. It's announcing good news. What is good news, though? Let's take a moment this morning and think about that question. I mean, just on an everyday street talking level, what's good news? That's good news. You know what that is? It's an engagement ring, right? Have you ever thought about, if you were in love with her and she shows up that day with the engagement ring, I get it, that's not good news. But we'll put that aside for a minute. All right? But for the lady, and for her betrothed, and hopefully for a lot of people that love those people, that's good news. It's good news. I'm getting married. Good news. That, in other words, somebody could be in a family situation where a lot of bad is going on, But they walk in with that, and all of a sudden it changes. There's some good news here today. Let's get behind that. That's good news. It's, first of all, it's new things. Kind of obvious, but let's walk through this. Good news is new things. And it basically, it's this. It's something that somebody didn't know or realize before. Now, if you limit your understanding of Romans to one part of it, you might get cynical and say, well, everybody's supposed to know that by now. Rah, rah, rah. But if you see the whole package of good news in the book of Romans and realize that it talks to every person in the world and it talks to every situation in our life, all of a sudden you're freed up with confidence to say, I know that when I soak in Romans, I've got stuff that I can release out in this world no matter what bad news is out there. All right? So, because there's always something that somebody you love or know about didn't know or realize before about Jesus Christ. There's always something that you haven't seen or known or realized before about Jesus Christ. So the point is, there's room for a lot of good news when we're looking at the Bible. That's good news. Something that somebody didn't know or realize before. Can you guys see that? Do you know what it is? What is it? It's I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. Not me. But that's what that means. When my wife and I couldn't have kids for a long time, wanted them, couldn't have them. People thought we didn't want them. If you ever seen how much my wife loves my kids, you know that was crazy talk. But when we first realized that, you know, we didn't lose the baby, it's going to stay, and we took one of those pictures and we put it in a card and gave it to my mother. See, that was good news. Right? Something they didn't know about before. A baby's always a surprise. But it's something else. It's positive, isn't it? It's hopeful. You know what it is? It's this. It's an announcement that gives people hope for a brighter future. That's what good news is. It's an announcement. I'm getting married. We're pregnant. That gives people hope for a brighter future. Oh, you're getting married. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. You mean you're going to be moving out of the house and I don't have to support you anymore? Good news! Are you having a baby? Now you find out. Yeah, it's good news because it's an announcement that gives people hope for the future. Glad tidings, like the angels came to the shepherds. We have good news of great joy, which will be for all the people in the town of Bethlehem this day. A Savior is born, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news. Centering around Jesus Christ coming from God. It's coming from God. Good news. Here's another piece of good news. Can you see that? This is good news too, especially these days. Yes, I got the job. That's good news. It's hope for a better future, isn't it? Yeah. But see, the good news that we have, again, it eclipses all particulars into the biggest general you can imagine. That General Jesus came to earth, gave his life for us, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And from perish to eternal life, there's an awful lot of good news in the Bible for us to give to ourselves first and then to other people. Good news, of course, because you've already seen God offers his righteousness, the most precious gift on anywhere, based on faith rather than the works of the law. You're no longer a slave to a religious system. You are a person who can look at the good news and believe it and now have your life completely changed. That's good news. And that's one of the interesting things about a lot of good news, too. It's sort of free. It's a gift, right? Like when somebody that you love comes and says that we're having a baby, it's just out of nowhere. It's free good news. It just came into your life. You know, you don't have to pay for it. Well, they'll pay for it, but that's another story. But you know what I'm saying, the person receiving the good news, right? It's on faith, it's not on the works of the law. It's faith. So now perhaps it's time for you and I to realize that we're God's workmanship now. We really are. We're kind of like this, spiritually speaking, if I can get back to it. You know, we're kind of like that. You know, born again. And from the moment that we're born again spiritually, we're his workmanship. We're in his family now. Right, and since we're his workmanship, we are created new to go out and make announcements to people. That's what we're here to do. What kind of announcements? Stuff from the book of Romans, for example, that when it comes across in their lives, it will come across as very good news. But see, you got to realize that God wants you to be you and be creative about this and say, you know, how do I get this across to blank, right? And I hope you started to see that when you start to look at it that way, the formulas crumble. And that what's really important is that you got it in your heart and you got it strong in your heart. And then, however it comes out and it's coming and it's coming and you're not giving up. Jesus Christ kind of never gave the gospel the same way twice. If you study him, you'll see what's going on with that. You know, woman at the well, you know, hey, bring your husband out here. I've had five. Like he didn't know that, right? You know, other people he would just say, somebody else was walking and saw a blind person and Jesus was asked, so, you know, who sinned, him or their parents? And he said, neither. But so that the glory of God could be revealed. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And he did it so many ways. And I just give it to you because the key, the important thing, is that you have it in your heart. That you are a good news person. And then it'll come pouring out of you in all kinds of ways. Relax. Let that work. But the work, and we're going to see this, there is work here, but it's probably not what you thought. The place to be aggressive in the Christian life is with faith. It's like Jacob, the wrestler, going to God and saying, I am not going to let go until you give me some grace out of this word today. I am not going to let go until I get the peace that's here in Romans 8. I'm not going to let go. That's the place to be a fighter. That's the place to be aggressive in the Christian way of life, with your faith in what the word of God has to say to you. And then you can be that, because that's what strengthens you and gives you this ability to be a good news person out there to the people that need to have it. I love this one too. You'll see why in a minute. Mom, I have good news. You got 100 on your math test. Mom, I said good news, not a miracle. And I love it because I don't know if you can see the fine print, but he spells said S-A-Y-E-D, which I kind of love. So he's giving a message. Mom, I didn't do too well on English either. Right? But anyway, good news. You see, the fact that righteousness is based on believing is good news to everybody because no one could ever perform the works of the law perfectly. You know? We've all fallen short of the glory of God, so it's a gift by grace. And you know, real, true gifts, they're always good news, aren't they? Just think about it. I just want you to think about this just in your own life. You know, you get something in the mail. And it's from somebody that, you know, it's around your birthday time, and somebody you think is probably going to give you something, and you open it up, and it's there. It's good news. Hey, I got a check. Or whatever, right? Good news. A real gift is always good news. Now, there's strings attached, you see. And by the way, do you realize that is exactly what Satan tries to do to the free gifts from God? He tries to come around the back door when you're not expecting it, when you're feeling low, and put a string there.
Yeah, there's an if there, and if you don't do the if, man, you're not going to get the gift.
Bull. It's a free gift. It's always good news. Hearing the good news and believing it is what gives us hope, though. That's what gives us hope. All kinds of hope. Hope that endures. Hope that no one can ever take away from us. Good news for all people, Jew and Gentile. Good news for you. Good news for me. Because the bottom line is, we keep on needing to hear good news. We are people that keep on needing to hear good news. And by the way, so do the people around you. They keep on needing to have good news. Do you see the possibilities? It's starting to dawn on you, the possibilities that are here for you. That tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, you're stepping into the lives of people who desperately need good news in one form or another. And you can be empowered by the word of God to be that person again and again and again and again and again. Good news that covers all sorts of things. But I hope you eventually get the idea that that's Romans. It covers the whole gamut of the human situation, past, present, and future, body, soul, and spirit, Jew and Gentile. It covers it all. When you get that down deep, you realize that you can step into anything in life as something that you got out of Romans from God. can be put to work for the good of people, for the hope in people's lives. Covers all time, our past, present, and future, all the way to eternity. And the best thing of all about the good news of Romans is that unlike that boss who had good news and bad news, this good news wipes out all the bad news. It really, really does. God knew all about our situations. He knew all about our sinfulness, our failures, our brokenness, our death, our suffering, our evil, all of it. And he took care of it all in his son, Jesus Christ. That's going to require a lot of believing, by the way. That one, when you get that, that it's all covered in the blood of Jesus. It's all covered by his death and resurrection. Everything you run into in life. Now, I know, I don't expect you to just take it. Well, I heard it once from the fat guy. I'm going to take it and run with it forever. I know it's not that easy. But that is true. It's a matter of, now you go and you work it out yourself in the book of Romans so that you come out of this someday and you say, it really is true. He did take care of all our sinfulness. He did take care of death. He did take care of suffering. He did take care of evil. He did it all in his son, Jesus Christ. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, too, to show how this good news can flow into us and out of us in every part of life. So here I go again. Here's the question. How about your life? Is it starting? I'm being kind. My first draft of this was a lot harder hitting. But the Lord said, yo, I'm the God of grace. He didn't say yo. I say yo to kind of. He said, I'm the God of grace. This better be a gracious approach to this whole thing, buddy. So the question is your life starting to come across more and more as good news to the people around you? That's the question. Is your life starting to become more and more good news to people around you? Are you the good news person or are you the bad news person? Good news is positive. Good news is hopeful. So what about it? Are you positive? Are you hopeful? Or the opposite? And if not, why not? Ask yourself the question, why not? Why am I not that? Good news is an announcement that gives people hope for a brighter future. And the question this morning is, are you giving the people that you come into your life hope for a brighter future? Are you? These questions are not meant to condemn or discourage us this morning. All right? It's this. This is the hope this morning. The hope is that each of us, we open up our hearts to realize what is actually possible for us as God's beloved children. So many people in life never get where they could have because nobody asked them a question like that. Nobody said, you know something, buddy, I don't care if you're living in the slums in the ghetto. I've seen your IQ. You can go to Harvard. Why aren't you on your way? Now, some people say, oh, that was bad. That was strict. You're putting a guilt trip on the kid. Not most kids I've seen. Most kids I've seen would say, really? You really think that much of me? Well, God thinks that much of you because you're his child. So he's saying, you can do this. The hope here is that we open up our hearts to realize what is actually possible for us as God's beloved children. You can do this. You can be the good news person. But how, right? That's the question, isn't it? How? How do I become it? That's the question. That's the next question, right? After you tell a kid who's in a third-rate school that he can go to Harvard, he's going to look at you and say, now how exactly am I going to do that? And you better have an answer. If you're going to put that hope into a kid's heart, you better have an answer at that point, too. Same thing for me. I better have an answer to that question. How do we become good news people? And the answer is really simple. It's right in front of you. It's by listening with a believing heart to what God is saying to you in the book of Romans. That's how. See, that's the problem. You know, we've come from a place where we were all kind of academic most of the time with God's word. And the problem with that is it starts to become a concept. It starts to become something out there, something on paper. It's not. It's real. It's alive. It's powerful. It is meant to reach out into your heart every time you hear it and grab you and say, what about you? Do you believe this? And if you don't, I'm going to take you somewhere where you're going to be forced into that question as you've never been before in your life. You're going to be face to face with, this is either meaningful or it's nothing. And at that point, your heart is going to have the greatest opportunity it's had in a long time. It's not nothing. I didn't get this far with Jesus Christ to come to that fork in the road and say it's nothing. It's everything. And I'm going to go back to Romans to make sure until I find it. And when I find it, I'm going to use it. And when I use it, it's going to matter. And when it matters, other people are going to see it and other people are going to have hope. We are not going to leave this planet with not getting hope into the hearts of other people that are in our lives every day. We're just not. That's how you become a hopeful person. By listening with a believing heart to what God is saying to you in the book of Romans. By listening to it. By listening to what, listening so you can believe it. That's active. That's aggressive. So that when we read Romans 1:7, when it says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that expression, beloved of God, and you know it's meant for your heart today. That you need, that you did. You didn't just come here to learn some history. You came here to have the word of God hit you in the heart so you can walk out of here a different person and say, you know what? I am beloved of God. What does that mean? It's mean that God is speaking to you in Romans and he's saying, I already decided to love you forever. That's good news. God who created this whole shebang decided to love you forever. That's what beloved of God is. That's what comes out of the page and hits you in the heart. Every time now that your soul is beaten down and you start to wobble in unbelief like we all do, you can just go to Romans. You can go to Romans 1. You can go to Romans 8 and you can have God say to you, let me speak fresh words to you again. I have decided to love you forever. And for no other reason than this, it is my glory to do so. It's my glory to love you forever. And it's my desire to have my son, Jesus, have a company of brothers and sisters forever who've been constituted in his likeness because they heard what the word said to them in their heart again and again so that it changed them so that they started walking around this planet like my son did. And they had started to have an impact on people's lives like my son did. And we can all get together when we're out of this crummy dark world someday in the eternal state or in the millennial reign and celebrate that Jesus Christ made a difference. That's what this is meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. I love you forever for no other reason than this. My glory to do so. My son is going to have a company of brothers and sisters constituted in his likeness. It shall be so. That's what this is all about. When Jesus said tetelestai in the Greek, it meant it is finished. My work is done. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, call the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we can do what I love to do. We can go, let me study the Greek and let me study the number of times that that phrase, God our Father and the Lord Jesus, blah, blah, you know, I love doing that stuff. There's a place for that, please, don't misunderstand. But you know what there's also a place for? There's a place to come to this new and say, you know what this says to me today? It's talking to me. It's God our Father is talking to you. Jesus Christ is talking to you, and he's saying grace to you. That's the first words out of his mouth. What you hear, the other stuff you're hearing is not from him. He said that to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. He said, you know what? If anything's coming down to destroy you, it's not from me. He's saying grace to you, peace to you. God is speaking to you today, and he is saying grace to you. I'm not going to win any theological first prizes for that. I know. But I also know that having that change your heart is one of the biggest wonderful things that can happen in your life. That every day you wake up, you just realize that the first thing he says to you in the morning is grace to you. More blessing to you. More ability today to walk out whatever it is you're going to face today in your life and know that I've got your back. to know that I saw it ahead of time, and I'm going to pour stuff out of you today. When you get to that place, and we all get to this place where you're like, oh no, it's all falling apart, I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm sinning, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not remembering the verse, and blah, 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 blah. He says, relax, I'm inside you. My spirit's alive, my spirit's pouring out of you. Just relax. Don't do that thing you always used to do to get all ugly and worried and scared and small. Don't do that. Just stand right up there and say, neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor any created thing could come between me and the love of my God in Christ Jesus. It matters. It makes a difference when you do that. That just took, what, 2 seconds to do that? But what words they are. That's the thing. What words these things are. The grace of God in chapter 5. What words? Use them. Let them pour through your heart again and again and again. You're having a day where you're feeling condemned by your sins. You go march into Romans 3 and you walk through it again that you've been justified as a gift by the grace of God through the redemption, the blood of Jesus. And you let the blood of Jesus pour on the field of whatever it was messing up your soul and make it all clean in your heart. It's already clean, but make it clean in your heart again. Use this stuff. Use it. God is speaking to you today. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything. We know none of this that what we see today would be possible without Jesus Christ dying and rising again. So we just want to end here today with a hymn of praise in our hearts to our Savior Jesus Christ. And knowing that from here to eternity, we've got the goods in your word and in Jesus and in the Spirit to take us things we've never even imagined that can happen and take us through all the grime and difficulty, all the worry, all the confusion. We know, based on these words of Romans and based on who we know you to be and who Jesus is, that you are a man, God of your word, and that you really have just begun a good work in us, which you're going to complete till the day of Christ Jesus. We rest on those words, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Dave Verhoeven forward this morning. Speak a few words from his heart.
Good morning. Couldn't you just hear and feel the passion coming from Pastor? Giving us the good news. And we thank you, Pastor, for that very inspirational message. And we thank God for our pastor and his wonderful family. There are different ways to give thanks to God for what he has given us, like singing, praying, and yes, giving to the offering. All of these should be done with a grateful heart. Our life is to be a thankful response from what God has given us, especially for his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. And remember, God has not called us out of this world to be alone. We are to gather together with others of the same mind and heart. So have courage in all things and fear nothing, for God is always with us. Please remember when you do give that our offering box is located in the back, because here at Lighthouse Bible Church, we always want it to be a private matter between you and God alone of what and when you give. Let us pray for the offering. As we give to the offering this morning, we give thanks to you, God, for all we receive from you. We ask you to multiply these gifts in the givers' lives. And Lord, we ask you for continued blessings for our pastor and our church. In Jesus' name we pray these things by power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, we're going to close our service this morning with a closing song by Aaron Pomeroy. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting. He's coming out perfect timing. Aaron, thanks for closing the song today. Thank you.
finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God, speak. Pour down the rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down the rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss.